Hello and welcome to another jam-packed episode of My Favorite Conservative. I am Edward.
And I am Andrea, but I am not conservative.
Whoa, whoa. You're not?
This is not a surprise to you. Every week we go through this. Huh. But he is my favorite conservative.
Thank you.
And I am traveling this week, so we aren't live, but we have a very, very special guest for you today. Great show. I am so honored to introduce Jennifer Oliver O'Connell. Jennifer is also, as the girl turns, trademarked, is an investigative journalist, freelance writer, political analyst, and entrepreneur centered around politics, culture, and the American story. Jennifer primarily writes at As the Girl Turns on Substack, redstate.com, and 1819 News. Jennifer is a featured political analyst on Jim Peters After Dark and KHTS's Politics in the Pulpit. Jennifer is a visiting fellow with the Independent Women's Forum, is a co-author of The Making of an American Hip-Hop Tycoon, and contributor to the Women's Encyclopedia, Women in American History, a social, political, and cultural encyclopedia and document collection. Jennifer, welcome!
Hey, guys. It's great to see you.
It's great to have you. Thank you so much for doing this while I'm traveling. We thought we would start, because we want to be honest with the audience, that you and I go way back.
Yes.
Would you like to tell the audience how we met? Because it was a little unusual.
Very unusual. To make ends meet. Writers do all types of things to make ends meet, obviously.
Yes.
I'm not one to do a manual labor, so waitressing was out of my book. But I did online teaching, and there is a organization. I don't think they're around anymore because they're just that terrible. Kaplan University.
I think they were bought, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God help them. Kaplan University. And so I went through all the hoops in order to teach online, you know, English composition or writing 101 or whatever they were calling it. And in a room, this was barely beginning internet with no webcams or anything like that.
Yeah, so, this was pre-Zoom. Yes.
Yeah. So we were in a chat room just talking to each other and sharing where we're from. And I said, yeah, I'm from Los Angeles. And Andrea was just like, no way, we're in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and this is an orientation for new adjunct professors.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So we discovered that we literally lived 5 miles from each other.
Which never happens in LA.
Never people. Happens in Los Angeles or California.
Never, never. We lived down the street from each other. I think at that time it was like 2 or 3 miles. It was so close.
Yeah, it was very close. You were just on the edge of Burbank and I was on the edge of North Hollywood. And
yes.
That was where we met.
And that was 2008.
It was. Wow. And we had lots in common. One was tragic death, as I'm sure you know. Andrea lost her child, her sister, to cancer. I had just lost my sister to cancer, older sister, but sister to cancer. And so, you know, we bonded over that. We bonded over our dogs. I had Panda, she had her Winston. And so we just became, and then her husband, she likes conservatives. Her ex is a conservative.
She's not
a conservative,
thing.
But she likes conservatives. Like, we're going to reel her in one of these days at work.
Yes. But I would say not in the same vein. But the other thing that was so wild, and I just feel like God and the universe wanted us to meet, was we discovered that we went to the same graduate program many years apart, the master's in professional writing program that used to exist at USC.
Yeah.
And I think you went pretty close after undergrad, and then I went many years later from undergrad. But we were in the exact same master's program at USC more than a decade apart.
Yep.
Crazy. So crazy.
All of these crazy little serendipitous moments that add up into a really great friendship. So she was the first one to leave California to come here. And then when I came out to visit several times, it's like I got reeled in. So
actually,
I'm in the great state of Alabama.
That's right. You're in the great state of Alabama. So, but take us back, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Because I'm so fascinated to your Chicago roots, because you knew so much about even before he was a senator, Barack Obama. And mm-hmm. I learned so much from you about Chicago politics. So take us back to Chicago.
Okay. So I was born and raised in Chicago. Come from a family of fried and died. I call them fried and died Democrats. Vote blue no matter who. I had one sister who actually did vote for George W. Bush. I was kind of shocked.
Wow.
But for the most part, they want nothing to do with Republicans and just swallow all of the Democrat Kool-Aid.
What's the blue again? Say that again?
Vote blue no matter who.
Oh my God, that needs to be a bumper sticker if it's not. For me, but I just love it. It sounds like a bumper sticker. It's awesome.
I'm sure somebody has one somewhere. Yeah.
Okay, so I did not know this about you. So I'm even more thrilled we're doing the interview. I knew I would learn new things. I had no idea. So how did you, living in Chicago, coming from a family of Democrats, like what the heck happened?
I've been a political junkie since I was 7 years old. Got sucked in by Watergate.
Really?
Actually, idiot child that I was. I actually watched the hearings.
Okay, that's fascinating. I had no
idea. I did. You know, go figure. No surprise that I'm writing on politics today. So just was fascinated by all of that. History was always my favorite subject in school. I actually studied the Constitution. They actually taught civics at that time
in
schools, which is sorely lacking now. And I watched the way Chicago operated. Daily criminal that he was, he ran a tight ship.
You're referring to Mayor Daley for our young audience.
Richard M. Is Richard? I get the M and the J mixed up. I think Richard J. Richard J. was the father. M was the son. But Richard J., the father, he ran a tight ship. But it was basically really how the Democrat Party is run now. The black wards, they had a ward boss who got all types of perks. And when it was time for votes, they'd hand out government cheese and, oh, we love you and blah, blah, blah. And then 4 years later, you're forgotten about. Chicago, as you see it now, is the same Chicago that it was when I was a child 50 some odd years ago. It hasn't, sadly, it hasn't changed. I recognize that foolishness and just said, why would I ever vote Democrat? You don't do anything. You just use black people. And I would say that to my mother, and I would say that to my brother-in-law. And,
so when you first registered to vote, where was the presidential cycle? Like for me, I registered 18, obviously, but I couldn't vote until I was 20 in a presidential election, the timing. So when you first registered to vote, who was the first president you were able to vote for?
The first person I was able to vote for was either Reagan or Mondale Ferraro. And I considered myself a moderate at that time. Didn't really care for some of the stuff. Didn't love Reagan, didn't hate him, but didn't love him either. And I was very much excited. You know, when you're young, you get excited about certain things that you don't when you're older. I got excited over Geraldine Ferraro. And she genuinely was a very competent, fabulous lady. As compared to what we are looking at now.
We're going to go there.
Geraldine Ferraro knew her stuff. So I actually voted for Mondale Ferraro. Wasn't upset that Reagan won, but that was my first vote. I was never registered Democrat, though. Refused to register Democrat. I think they had independent or nonpartisan. I forget what it's called in Chicago. I skated that line. Same in California. I was nonpartisan a good majority of the time, or independent in California as well. When I wanted to vote for a Republican, sadly in California with that stupid jungle primary, you had to register as a Republican if you wanted to vote for a Republican candidate. But for the most part, I held the middle line for a long time because neither party has all of the answers. Both parties do ridiculous things, but Democrats just have a known established track record of, I'm sorry, using and abusing black people. Lyndon Baines Johnson, you know, and signing into the whole Voting Rights Act and the War on Poverty. I mean, get those. I don't know if you'll be bleeped on YouTube, but you're going to get these niggas to vote for the next 200 years. And that's what he said.
Yeah.
Presidential quote.
Yep. Total quote. So it's like, why would I want to be aligned with, as well as the party has just never, I mean, first of all, I'm a person who stands for life. I know we differ on that, Andrea, but I'm pro-life, been staunchly pro-life my entire life. And the party has just gotten stronger. I mean, now they're just insane. Yes. It's like up to birth. It's like, why? Why do you wish to destroy life in the womb? Why can there not be any exceptions? And now they're going after, and this has converted a ton of friends when I lived in California who were either nonpartisan or totally on the left, the attack on their children, that they just want to take their children in order to mutilate them. And if they don't agree to transition their children, DCFS can take them out of their homes and put them in a home where they'll be accepted and loved and given puberty blockers. That's wrong. And so any party that stands for that, and they do stand for that, they try to hide it. The abortion part, they don't. But the other part, they try to say, oh, this is not us. We're just doing gender care. We're just affirming their worth. And it's like, no, you're not. You're stomping all over parents' rights to raise their children and to ensure that they are not being mutilated, because you have a whole deep bunch of detransitioners out there in California and other places who are speaking out and saying, they deceived me in this. They told me it was going to be this way. Now I don't have breasts. Now I can never breastfeed my child. I can never have a child. Hysterectomies. It's like, why would you do that? If you're an adult, fine. I don't care what you do after 18. You can make that choice. You can pay for it. But to be trying to steal away their childhood and steal them away from the influence of their parents. The Democrat Party stands for all this stuff. So go ahead.
I have a question, Jennifer. No, just when you were talking about the Daily Machine in Chicago and how they
ran a tight ship,
ruled with an iron fist, that if you got out of line, do you see the similarities in today's Democratic Party?
Oh, totally.
Or has the Chicago model gone full nationwide for the Democrats?
The Chicago model has gone full nationwide for the Democrats. It was going that way before Obama, just because Nancy Pelosi, because you had it going on in the eastern states too. Nancy Pelosi is a daughter of a union boss from Maryland, I believe.
Yeah.
People don't know that. She got her political roots in Maryland. Then she married, you know, whoever it was from California. There's reason behind that too, but I won't get into it. And she has been the one who spearheaded all of this stuff. And then they brought in Obama. So she knew Daley. Her family knew Daley and knew all those players. It's been a machine that is now nationwide in the Democrat Party.
What did you think of Barack Obama when he first came on the Chicago scene? Because, I've not hidden this in any way, but in 2008, I didn't think he was ready at all. And I was still a registered independent, but tended to vote more Democrat, not down the ticket necessarily. And I actually wrote in Hillary at the time. I just wrote in her name. I was like, I can write in a name. I'm going to write in a name. Yeah. And so I'm just curious, because after we met, which was right at that time, and hearing about that history, can you tell people a little bit about the Barack Obama before he became President Barack Obama?
Yeah. He was a community organizer. They like to downplay that tremendously. Oh, he was just helping out people organize, blah, 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 blah. No, he was a leftist activist, totally taught that way and advocated that way. And they embedded him into the community to do that. The organization that he worked with Bill Ayers, the bomber, was an organization to engineer, you know, how to rig the vote and several other things that the Annenberg Foundation does that is not, again, people are pulling their hair about Project 2025. The Annenberg Foundation has the same type of policy crap for Democrats, and nobody is blinking twice about that. It's like every policy arm has these things going on. But that is who Barack Obama was. And basically they cleaned him up, polished him up. He got married to Michelle, and they decided to start running him for moving him up the ranks of office. I tell people all the time, watch out. Who's running for city council? Who's running for school board? Watch that, because that is how they start moving people up the ladder. That's how they did it with Kamala Harris. So he ended up being a congressional person, so a local congressperson. Here's what happened. The congressperson was very well loved in her community, and she was going to run again. She wasn't interested in stepping down. They basically found dirt on her, not only did he get her to step down, he wiped everybody else off of the ballot. The party decided, we're going to get rid of everybody on the ballot. He ran uncontested.
Well, he did that in the Senate run too, right?
Right. Run as well, he found, or should I say, the party unsealed the records of the Ryan, the candidate, and pulled out all types of dirty divorce stuff on him. He pulled back, ran for Senate uncontested.
Yeah.
When he got into the Senate, basically he was instructed, or should I say one of the head senators was instructed, state Senate, to farm him bills to start propping him up that he can sign on that were pretty much already finished, already legislated and gone through committee, that he can sign on and to make him look good, to start propping up his record. That is exactly what was done for him. So someone who was a senior senator who had done all the hard work, handed off his bills to Barack Obama to make it look like he was the one who did all the hard work on these bills. And lo and behold, he ended up in the national Senate, the United States Senate, after that, all of those shenanigans with Blagojevich and other people. Then 2 years later, he's running for president.
That's crazy fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, crazy his timing fast, was right.
Fully engineered. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, let's jump to today. And it's so interesting the way you just outlined that, because that's kind of what our show was about today, the one that went live today and it will drop tomorrow on the podcast. Is we talked about how the Democratic Party is anything but democratic. So how do you feel about Kamala replacing Biden on the ballot?
I'm not surprised. I think it happened sooner than they wanted it to. I believe that here are two things, and we've talked about this before, that I think were the scenarios. The first scenario was, had he not totally nosedived on the debate, they would have tried to trot him through and then move him into the presidency again, and then they invoked the 25th and he'd be gone. And then Kamala would be there, and then she could run in 2028. I think that was one of the plans.
And then she wouldn't have to work very hard.
Exactly. Well, what else is new? Of course, she wouldn't have to work.
Yeah.
The other issue was, or should I say, the other scenario is that she really wasn't their first choice. They didn't think she was competent, frankly, and she's not. They didn't think she'd be able to handle a national race. Obama may be a total fraud and a manufactured candidate, but he knew how to campaign, and he had charisma, and he knew how to articulate a message. It was a pablum message, but he articulated it well. We see what we're getting with Harris, the word salads, the deer in the headlights, I don't know what I'm talking about, the potentially drunk segues. This is what you have. It's very hard to rein that in and figure out. You have to either be skilled at it or you're not, and she's not. So they were very much concerned about that. Had she not pulled in the money with the delegates, I don't know who helped to prop her up. But had that not happened, it probably would have been an open convention. Frankly, I was looking forward to an open convention.
Me too. I wanted to see like this crazy, you know, especially because it was in Chicago and they were going to be, and there were protesters. I wanted to see this completely open convention, just a mass of people yelling at each other and different candidates coming forward, especially after what happened in 2020, especially when there was a primary and the Obama machine came in and said, nope, we're going to give it to Biden, and convinced everybody else. Some people got positions.
Wiped out Bernie and
installed
some of his staffers into the Biden-Harris administration. Simone Sanders, who was for Bernie before, worked for Kamala for about 5 minutes, couldn't stand her. And now she's on MSNBC.
I find that fascinating that, you know, Andrew and I had talked about this before a couple of years ago, right? When she takes over the vice presidency, and then all of a sudden, a few months later, you start to see this revolt by her staff that they're leaving in droves. And we were saying to each other, here's a woman who is literally a heartbeat away from the presidency. As a staffer, that's the highest thing you can attain, right? Being on the staff and they're leaving.
Yeah. Right.
You know? They're bailing.
And here's what fascinates me. I mean, granted, we have a generation that, you know, they break a fingernail and they're falling apart. Sorry, Gen Z and some of you younger millennials, but it's true. We're Gen X. But you have staffers. We know the history of some of these people, like Johnson, like Kennedy. Who was another one that was a wicked person in the world? Hillary Clinton. I know one of Clinton's Secret Service people writes for Red State, and he's always spilling the tea on them and what went on behind closed doors. It's like you have people who threw things, who screamed, who yelled, and yet people are loyal to the quick to these people and stayed with them because, as you said, it's the presidency. It's something that's going to be on your resume forever and that you can dine out on for life. We see all these old people dining out on, you know, even working for Nixon still.
Working for Carter. Yeah, right.
Right, working for Carter.
It makes me think of Huma Aberdeen. Is that her last name? Yeah, who stayed with Clinton. But she was so bad, people left.
Exactly.
Yeah. I find it fascinating. The media has zero interest in that line of that storyline. It's amazing.
It is amazing that they refuse to follow that line, just like they refuse to follow the fact of her past. there should have been art when she came out with that, with her acceptance speech, her DNC acceptance speech, talking about, you know, I'm a prosecutor and I've done this and hello. Jamal Truelove would like a word. Comrade Colorado would like a word. These are two people who she put in jail under wrong pretenses and then kept them there. So there's a ton of oppo on her as a prosecutor, and I hope Trump comes out with that in the debate, that should be examined, and they want to cover it up and they want to ignore that it didn't exist.
Well, that's why she fell apart in the 2020, that's why she didn't make it past. Yeah. You know, here she was, a senator from California. That seat, of course, was essentially handed to her. Mm-hmm. And she came in so strong. And Edward was just talking about today about how that big debut in San Francisco and the crowd and everything. And then I think it was the very first debate, maybe the second one. But Tulsi Gabbard just demolished her.
Yes.
On her record in California.
Yeah.
The first debate, she kneecapped Joe Biden.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Biden was a racist, and I had to ride that bus. Yes,
And then Tulsi said, how do you like it now?
Yeah.
Pretty much. But Tulsi was spot on. And her poll numbers tanked. And, you know, she just wasn't getting any traction anyway. I think she had less than 1% of the vote before she even got to Iowa. She never made it to Iowa.
Yep.
So what do you think of this narrative? First of all, for our people who listen to the podcast who aren't watching the video version of the podcast, Is it okay for me to say your race and gender? Is that all right?
Yes, perfectly fine. I do not try to hide or pretend that I am not.
If you have not guessed from her voice, Jennifer is a woman, and she's already said she's a Gen Xer, like me. And she's a Black woman. Am I supposed to say African American or Black? You tell me.
Black. I forget who the artist, there's several actually Black actors who will not use African American because I'm not from Africa. My family, there's a descendancy somewhere from Africa, but good Lord, my family's been in America forever. I'm also 1/16th Native American as opposed to Elizabeth Warren, who's not. So, you
know. So do you ever get people who, especially people who maybe don't know what you do for a living and your background, who look at you and say, oh, well, you've got to vote for Kamala Harris, right? Because, you know, she checks these boxes and you check the same boxes. I mean, do you ever get that? I'm curious.
All the time, because also for those who are not seeing a video, and this is no longer controversial, or should I say it's no longer as uncommon as it used to be, but I have dreadlocks. So I have an ethnic hairstyle. And so there was a time when if you had a certain look, oh, you must be an activist or you must be a radical. So yeah, there is a knee-jerk assumption when people see me that, oh, you know, she's a Democrat woman. Oh yeah, Kamala. Vote for Kamala. And it's like, no.
we've asked for people, we've put out the word for other guests, and we've said we would love to have someone, and we think we lined someone up, but we'd love to have someone come on the show and tell us why they would vote for Kamala Harris without talking about her gender, sex, ethnicity, race, you know, take all that off the table. And it can't be to vote against Trump, policy.
Yeah.
Tell us about the policy that you agree with, because if you would totally agree with all her policies, of course, she's flip-flopped on all of them, but whichever side.
Yeah.
If you agree, then okay, I get it. But I just feel like, and I'd be curious, because you're like right in the neck of it, I feel like so many people are going to vote for this ticket as a vote against Trump. It's not for Harris and Walz. It's against Trump.
Not at all. It's all against Trump. And that's what amazes me. Even I'm on X all the time. And there is one person who claims that they are a former Republican, you know, staunch Republican. And the only thing they brought up, and this is why I'm voting for Kamala Harris, these are the policies I stand for, that she doesn't claim that she stole an election, that it's still all about Trump. There is nothing about this is what she stands for and I can stand with her. It's all about Trump. It's like, what are you using your critical thinking cap? What you're going to have to live with are her policies, what she has done or is doing, not whether she's not Trump or what, you know, who cares about the color of her skin? I don't really don't care if she's purple. What are her policies?
Exactly. Yeah.
Let me ask you about the polls.
Yeah.
First question though, in 2016, a lot of people would not admit they were going to vote for Trump in the polls, and the polls were way off, right? Way off. Hugely for Trump. Do you think this time around now in 2024 that they're going to be a little more on spot on? Are people going to admit that they will vote for Trump, or do you think there's still a whole group of people that won't tell the pollsters?
I think there's a whole group of people who are not talking to pollsters and will not tell the pollsters, just because they watch, they're aware of what happens and what goes on with people who speak their, I mean, it's just for self-preservation more than it is for one candidate or the other. They're just, they want to get out of it and they don't want to be condemned for it. But in terms of, particularly among Blacks, they're recognizing that Black men are like, no, dog. She jailed too many of us over marijuana charges and didn't apologize for it. No, we're not going to.
And then made shoplifting legal.
Exactly. So we are not going to vote for that. And we are also, there's a ton of women who will not vote for her. For not only for those reasons, but for the fact, I mean, you read my curriculum vitae. I don't go around bragging about my curriculum vitae, but I am proud of what I have accomplished and that I did it the right way. And that I refused some things that I could have taken advantage of being a woman and being Black that I didn't. And to
are you saying Kamala did that?
Yeah. And nobody wants to talk about that aspect of how she came to her rise. She was Willie Brown. He was the Speaker of the California Assembly and the Mayor of San Francisco. He introduced her into the annals of politics. I call it the San Francisco cabal. These are the people in San Francisco who fund everything and frankly run the state. You know, they run Sacramento and then Sacramento runs everything else. He was her boyfriend for 4 years. He bought her a expensive car. He gave her or appointed her to a seat that at that time paid about $72,000 a year to show up twice a month. So please do not tell me that as a Black woman on that alone, please do not tell me that this woman's accomplishments matches mine and yet she's being propped up as the savior of the world. No, I resent that, frankly.
Yeah, I find it interesting when people say, well, she won the attorney general's race. Well, in California.
Barely.
Well, barely. But yes, but here Willie Brown says to his people, she's going to be elected and put everything you can behind her. I mean, it's a one-party state. So it's shocking that she barely won the race, right?
Well, Steve Cooley, who was running against her, he was a Los Angeles district attorney, Los Angeles County district attorney at one time. Scott Hounsell, who works with me at Red State, actually was on his campaign. And he saw the shenanigans going on. Legitimately, she should have never won that race either. But this is California.
Wow. You know, it's what I have seen from, I'll say, more liberal writers in defense of how her political career started. I actually saw this in writing. Well, yeah, technically she was the mistress of Willie Brown, but he was already separated. So it's like, but you just said it. Like you just put it in writing.
Yeah, yeah. And it would be different if it was fine. She had an affair at the beginning and she kicked ass and did some things and accomplished some things. And I wrote an entire piece about this on Red State. I'll send it to you in case you want to link it.
Oh, good. We can finish it.
She has had over 25, 30 years to learn how to talk, to learn how to argue policy, to learn how to be able to stand 10 toes down on something. And she can't. What the hell were you doing all that time if you're so accomplished and skilled? And, you know, seriously, why don't you have anything to show for it? I got stuff to show for the hard work that I did. You do not.
Yeah, I've always argued with Kamala that she has no core values except abortion.
Yeah.
And she doesn't do the policy work, right? So she doesn't understand the policy, so she can't talk about it.
Right.
And if you don't have any core convictions, how do you speak for more than a few minutes? Well, obviously she's Exhibit A.
Yeah. she is. And that's spot on, Edward. I have said in articles and in other things that the one thing that she is confident and very well spoken about is abortion.
Yeah.
That she believes in. So, you know, makes you think. But everything else, you're right. Staffers have actually said she doesn't read half the stuff that comes. Or there was one time when I think she said she didn't want to get the briefings anymore. She just said, I don't want them.
What if she's president?
Yeah.
It's a job.
Exactly. Well, not just a job. The stuff that we're already got a world gone crazy with Israel and Hamas and this horrible stuff that's happening, you know, culturally and logistically in our own nation, and she's done nothing to speak to that concretely.
No.
What did you think about this? This was our This Week in Wins for the episode that we did today that will go out on the podcast tomorrow. What did you think about Alan Dershowitz quitting the Democratic Party? He's out.
Yeah. You know, we've had a sea change when Dick Cheney is endorsing a Democrat right. and Alan Dershowitz has said he's no longer a Democrat. And RFK, even though he's still right. a Democrat, is also endorsing Trump. You right. know there's something going on.
Yeah, if you would have said, I've got a Kennedy and a Dershowitz going away from the Democratic Party, and I've got a Cheney...
Yeah,
going for the yeah, you know, my head yeah. would have exploded.
We would have laughed and said, "Oh, you've got to be kidding!"
Right
here we yeah. are.
I just, oh my gosh. So, before we ask you something about Trump, do you think that because I forget it was like more than 30 days, right, when she was handed the nomination before she sat down for that interview with CNN, where we only got 18 of the 45 or so minutes, and then I think it was Megyn Kelly who called Walz her
emotional support governor.
Yeah. Emotional support governor, which is super odd, right? It was super odd. The whole thing was odd. And do you think that she's going to, she can't because she doesn't have COVID like Biden did, but do you think she's going to try to run a basement campaign where she does as few public appearances as possible or interviews?
She's already been doing it. I depending on how they spin this debate, she may continue to do it. She has an entire press pool, and David Marcus, a columnist for Fox and other outlets, he said, why the frick does she have a press pool? What's the point of right. them running around with her? She's right. not giving them any interviews. She's not talking off of the cuff. She's not hanging out with them like any campaign duck. Clinton loved campaigning. Clinton used to hang out with him all the time. GW did it a little bit, not, you know, they used to twist everything he said, so he was careful, but GW did it. Everybody does it.
Yeah. Trump loves the press.
Right.
They hate him.
Right, exactly. He doesn't care.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, she's playing the basement campaign, and for as long as she can, I mean, she's, like I said, the poll numbers are starting to drop, but she may still play it if they let her.
What do you think? This came up on our show today, and Hillary Clinton has done this, so I mean, Kamala's not the first. But what do you think of the accents that she seems to inherit all of a sudden, depending on the audience she's speaking to? And like I said, Hillary Clinton did this way back in the day with Arkansas.
That and the hot sauce in the purse. Kamala's version of hot sauce in the purse is. Yes. Collard greens in the bathtub. It's like, what kind of self-respecting black person ever cleaned their collard greens in the bathtub? I don't think so. It is pandering at the worst level. It's just like, you were born in Berkeley, grew up part of the way in Oakland. The rest of it, your high school years was in Canada, Montreal.
Yes.
And you're trying to come. Did you pick up that accent at Howard? Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things we were saying, whatever you think of Trump, he's always Trump. Like he's always himself.
Exactly.
He always does his dorky little, hand dance. Yep. You know, he's always.
He is comfortable in his own skin.
Correct.
Yes.
And, while he may talk, he also, any audience that you listen to him talk to, he's the same.
He doesn't try to,
they call it code switching what Kamala is doing. I call it pandering. He is the same no matter who he's talking to. When he talks to a black audience, he's Trump. When he talks to a white audience, he's Trump. When he talks to Christians, he's Trump. When he talks to non-Christians, he's Trump. It's like this playing around, it really reflects again that A, she's not comfortable in her own skin. She doesn't really know who she is. And she is going to put on whatever she feels like, whatever they tell her to put on in order to try to win or do whatever. You know, I don't know who's counseling her. It's stupid. They should tell her, kill the accents and just talk like yourself.
Yeah. So we are recording this. Granted, it's going to go out in October. So who knows? But the debate, probably the one and only presidential debate we're going to get with Harris, is in 2 days.
Yes.
Do you have any predictions, considering the rules are very similar to the debate with Biden that was with Biden in June? How do you think she's going to do against Trump?
Well, I have reading Politico and a couple of other people who supposedly have the inside dope.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The campaign is very frustrated that they did not bend the rules for her and allow the mics to be on as opposed to be muted, because she wanted to do that. Well, I'm a prosecutor and I can deal with people like Trump. And she would, basically start countering like a prosecutor, objection, Your Honor, that type of thing, anything that Trump would try to say. To speak, basically filibuster him. She did in all of those hearings with Kavanaugh and, where she, yes, Queen, aren't I wonderful? That was those were the moments that she wanted, and she's not going to get them. So now they're having to recalibrate. Their goal is to try to upset Trump, to make him angry, to get him to talk off the cuff. So what we need is a disciplined Trump. We need the same Trump that we got in the Biden debate. Be quiet. I mean, the mics are going to be muted anyway, but let her just keep talking.
Yeah.
Because my prediction, just let her talk, because word salad Kamala is going to end up coming out sooner or later, and she's going to say something really ridiculous or, and let's hope they keep that bottle of gin or whatever she imbibes away from her too.
I will tell you what I liked in that first debate was, you had 2 minutes to answer, and Joe Biden, he took like a minute and a half and then stopped. And the moderator said, "You still have 30 seconds, sir. Would you like to finish?" And then it's like, oh, crap, I got to think of something. Now with her, I hope they continue to do that, not let her off the hook and go back over to Trump.
Exactly.
Biden said no several times.
Yeah,
he said, no, I have nothing to add. He's like, no.
All right, Jennifer, question for you here on the polls. On voting and cheating, all right?
Oh, okay.
I referenced Chicago earlier.
Yeah.
And Chicago is the birthplace of political cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And they have nationalized that now in the Democratic Party. Is that a huge concern for you? Are you seeing enough safeguards being put in place?
I think Republicans are trying. Sadly, they're 20 years behind. Yeah. they should have started doing this stuff way ahead of time. I think it's going to be up to whoever is on the ground. I know there's some smart people on the ground. Me personally, I am actually going to be on the ground, not during the November, but in October, in another state, doing some stuff in that regard to shore things up, to see that the vote is counted honestly and with integrity. But I don't know. I seriously do not. I think what is going to be needed is, one thing I am, again, shout out to Wes Allen in Alabama, the measures that he's taken and put in place. There was somebody in Birmingham, actually, who just got admitted to taking someone's identity and voting in her name. Had a passport, had her identity, voted as an American citizen. So more of that, more states doing that and more of that being exposed ahead of time will also throw them off their game. But really, it's going to require that people vote in droves. And I mean, Trump is running ads like that, and he's legit. If you've got early voting, go vote. Do it now. Establish it. Don't wait until Election Day. And if you don't have early voting, then come out in droves.
I don't think we have early voting in Alabama.
We don't. We don't. That and paper ballots. That's what they have. They actually have paper ballots as opposed to electronic.
So what do you think Trump needs to do for the remainder of the campaign? Because, I mean, he is out there now that he's no longer in court every day. He's out there as much as he possibly can all the time. And he genuinely enjoys, the crowd and feeds off the crowd, which may be like the one negative for the debate is not having a crowd there, because that really energizes him. But what does he need to do to win despite any cheating?
Stay disciplined. And I mean, when I say stay disciplined, I'm not one of these people who say, please shut him up. Please don't let him tweet. Please. No. Stay disciplined in terms of hammering the messages that he has. Why the economy was good under his 4 years. Why people didn't have problems with jobs. Why our borders were closed.
So you were talking about immigration and the open borders. And when we were texting over the last few days, you talked to me about some really interesting work you're doing right now. So would you share with our audience what you're working on and what you're seeing like actually on the ground?
Great. I work for 1819 News as well as Red State. 1819 is, for those who don't know, it's the year that Alabama was incorporated into the Union. So
it's oh my God, I didn't know that.
Born and raised and you didn't know that.
Oh, not born and raised. No. Okay. Went to high school here. I did have a year of Alabama history, so I probably should have known that. So.
Okay. So yeah, it's a conservative publication. And one of the things that I have been doing is digging into things that are happening in Athens and Sylacauga, which are very small towns. Athens now has about 30,000 people. It used to be smaller. It's one of the fastest growing cities, but it has about 30,000 people now.
Athens, Georgia or Alabama?
Athens, Alabama.
Okay, there's
an Athens in every southern town.
Yeah, I know, there really is.
That seems. So Athens, Alabama has about 30,000 people, bedroom community, a lot of people who work in Huntsville, which is the largest city in the state, like to live there. There's also other industry around. Also, Sylacauga, which is closer to you, Athens is northern Alabama, Sylacauga is more southern, even smaller, maybe 15,000 people. They have decided to dump Haitian migrants into both of these towns, hundreds of them. They bus them in. They go and then they bust them out to go work at Pilgrim's chicken plant. There's I think it's TKA or TKS. It's an auto parts manufacturing. They work there. Apparently they've taken it over. These people do not have very little grasp of English, no grasp of English, really.
Right.
They have no hygiene awareness. They literally defecate on people's lawns and out in public. They have sex out in public. They don't know how to drive. So there's been residents who have had their fences knocked down more than once. Imagine if your child was behind that fence because they crash into the fence and nothing is done.
You said so, they. Who's the they busing in these illegal immigrants?
That is what is being investigated. No one knows. We know that it is part of Biden's temporary parole program. He allowed the Haitian migrants because they were fleeing violence because of the gang violence. He allowed them to stay in the state. He is giving money to sponsors. And what I'm trying to dig up is who are sponsoring these people?
Right.
It's churches. The government is denying. The mayor's denying it. The city council's denying it. But they're denying that they know anything about the paperwork, but they're saying, oh, they're perfectly legal. Well, how do you know they're legal if you don't know anything about the paperwork and how they got here? So something's fishy, something's afoot, but they're raking havoc in the community. I mean, literally, if you have someone who doesn't have any hygiene understanding and then they're going in Walmart and stealing stuff and picking over fruit and... No, one of the women that I interviewed said, she said, I drive to Madison to go to the Walmart there. I will not use the Walmart in Athens because it is just filthy and we don't know what they're carrying. And they want to paint that as, oh, you're just racist. You're just xenophobic. It's like, no, I care about my children. I care about my community. I don't want, people are having their animals stolen because they're literally eating their animals or barbecuing their animals.
Oh my God.
This is what's going on. So you look at what's happening in Aurora, Colorado, where a gang of Venezuelans took over two apartment buildings and extorting money and causing havoc. You actually look at what happened in Springfield, Ohio. The same thing happened to them. A bunch of Haitian migrants came in, And yeah, they were peaceful and the town just kind of pulled back. A little child ended up losing his life because a Haitian ended up crashing into the school bus. All of them were injured. A child lost their life because this Haitian, who had a driver's license from a state he was not in, it was a state that was Ohio.
Oh my God.
And he's driving, but he doesn't know how to drive. Right. Apparently a lot of them can become Uber and Lyft drivers real quickly, but yet they're, you know, they can barely drive. So you have that going on. And then in Boston, a 10-year-old boy was molested by a Haitian migrant. So we don't know how many of those are not being reported. You know, those are the ones we know about. But to dump these migrants into unsuspecting towns and not even acclimate them or vet them is just wrong. And so I'm trying to figure out who's doing it. And really what the people want is they want some attention because their city council in Silicaca, the head of the city council literally shut down public comments because she didn't want any heat. She stopped the public comments. Oh, you can see it on video. There's a video floating around because she did not want to talk about it anymore. She didn't want to discuss it. And literally in so many words told them you're just racist because you don't want these people in your town.
Well, it's not surprising. You know, we've seen the videos of, you know, the Biden administration flying in immigrants in the dead of night to different cities all around the country. So would I be shocked to hear that, you know, the administration was behind this? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I wonder if the administration, but also, I mean, these big companies that are getting super cheap labor.
Big time. Yep. Yeah. Pilgrims has been caught in the net before with illegal immigration and, you know, plant issues with, you know, dirty plants and all that stuff. And the locals have cleaned it up for them, the local mayor and, you know, the councilmen have cleaned it up for them. So I wouldn't be surprised. It's just disheartening because, as you know, I told someone else that I was talking to, I'm on all of these pages for my community and other communities, people begging for work. And suddenly these people have jobs automatically. And they're able to ship, they're able to wire transfer money to Port-au-Prince. There was someone who set up a Caribbean store for that very purpose. We think it could be money laundering, we'll see. But to for them to be able to go in and wire transfer money to Port-au-Prince. Some of them don't even have addresses that are owned by people in the state. I've traced a couple of the addresses to Virginia. Someone in Virginia owns it or has their name on it. One of the city council members is housing a couple of these people, maybe more. Oh, so far I found one. So it's a lot of shenanigans going on, sadly. And if nothing else, I'd like to see it exposed before the election because people will vote accordingly. They can't keep saying, but right now Biden is saying, oh, you know, well, border crossings are down. And, you know, Kamala's probably going to sell that lie as well. Who cares if they're down? They're in here and they're wreaking havoc already. Right. And that's what needs to be known. We're still suffering the result of your poor management because Lakin Riley is dead. Jocelyn Nungare is dead. A poor little girl in Indiana was stabbed by an illegal immigrant and will be traumatized for life. And little boys will be traumatized for life because they've never seen anything like that. It's like, this is the damage you're doing to our nation.
Yeah. And you know, what I think is so fascinating before we wrap this up is that if you speak to any legal immigrants, you know, whether they came here as children or they're first generation American, they're all for immigration.
Good time.
Legally.
Yeah.
Legally. And I'm not against immigration, but I think one of the things that perhaps made me different than a typical Democrat, even in my 20s, was I never understood why we didn't put our Americans first. Yeah. You know, I mean, when I first moved to LA, so much of it was absolute trash that has been really cleaned up and gentrified, or as I like to call it, Disney-fied. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I remember the first time I went to the Hollywood, you know, Walk of Fame, which sounds so glamorous.
No,
and back then it was scary.
Yeah.
And I was like, why aren't we doing something for the people who live here, who are citizens of this country? I never, ever understood that.
Who pay taxes and who work hard.
Yeah.
And who just like some beauty in their community and just like to know that their children can run around safely. They can't even be on a school bus safely. One last sad anecdote. In San Diego, there were illegal immigrants who tried to board school buses with children, tried to board them just because they wanted to get a ride across the, you know, somewhere.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But yeah, tried to board an elementary school bus, tried to stop a high school bus while it was on the freeway. People want to know their children are safe.
Yeah.
And the safety factor has gone out the window because you don't know who you're encountering. They're dumping these people into your neighborhoods, into your communities without vetting, without care, and just waiting for something to explode.
Yeah. And well, to me, the left's favorite response is that illegal immigrants supposedly commit crimes at a lesser rate than Americans. Now, my answer to that is, okay, we have enough crime on our own.
Why import it?
Yeah, maybe it's less than ours, but we're already full, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, Earth is closed today.
Yeah, thank you.
Jennifer, thank you so much for coming on our show. So this is, like I said, going out in October. So who knows where things are going to stand.
Yeah.
But if people live in a state like Alabama, where we actually have to vote on the day of voting, or even if they're in a state that allows for early voting, but they haven't voted yet, what would you like to say to those people, especially those people that might be on the fence and undecided?
I don't tell anybody you should vote for, you know, I'm not into advocating for candidates. Yeah, I'm going to vote one way. If you ask me, I may tell you, I may not. It depends on the day. but do your research, seriously, and turn off CNN, MSNBC, Fox, turn all of them off, do some research. Start reading both sides, actually read local stuff. There's a lot of online local publications, and they often tell the truth about what's going on in their town, what the legit thing that is going on. But do your research. Do your research on Donald Trump. I remember from the RNC, Amber Rose, I don't know what she is, OnlyFans star, but she's also a singer and she does other stuff. She basically said, I did my research and I realized that what they were saying about him was not true. So I'm not telling you believe everything I say about Kamala Harris. Go do some research. They tried to bury a lot of it, but it's still out there. Even in publications you may not like, start following the links. I know in my Red State articles, I link everything I can to give you background on what I'm talking about. I just don't blow it off out of my rear end, I give you the background of where I came from this stuff. So there is documentation from LA Times Archives, San Francisco Chronicle Archives, all types of information about this woman and what she has done. Actually, there's videos. If you do nothing else, go find Jamal Truelove, find his video on YouTube, and see what he says about what Kamala Harris did to him.
Well, maybe we can link to that in the show notes as well.
Go find him. There's a Cherie Peoples is also another woman, a mother whose daughter had sickle cell, and under Kamala Harris's truancy crackdown, she was put in jail because of her daughter's absences. Go hear what she has to say. And that's a good start, but go research and find out exactly where both of them stand. And I'm all about the Reagan mantra, what he said in his last, the debate between Mondale. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Or the first debate actually with Carter. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? I know I'm not, but how about you? Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Are your gas prices lower? Do you feel safer? How is your economic prospects. Are you making more money? Has your savings gone down? Look at that. I'm frankly about people voting for their interest and right. not for vibes or feels or because somebody said something mean. That annoys me to death. It's like, so you're saying people don't think. I need Megan Thee Stallion shaking her booty in my face in order for me to be excited about Kamala Harris. No, tell me what have you done for me lately as a better artist, Janet Jackson used to say.
There you go. Yes.
What have you done for me lately?
Yes.
It's like, show me the receipts. Show me the money for another Gen X movie, Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
Please.
Well, and I'll add one more thing to that is private Facebook groups where everybody thinks the same way you do is not research, people. It's right. not research. So listen to Jennifer, do your actual research, because I think people get in these social media bubbles and they, I could out someone right now, but I'm not going to, I'm choosing not to, but I will tell you privately offline. But they think they're doing their research, mm-hmm. but they're just in a group of people who think exactly like them.
That echo chamber. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little silo that they're in. And it's like, you get out of the silo, and that's one thing that was handy about living in Los Angeles and traveling someplace else and all that stuff. It's like, if you step outside of Los Angeles proper, you're going to find a whole bunch of different people, different opinions. People don't step outside of their little radius, and maybe it's time you did.
I love that advice. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you. And if you want to learn more about Jennifer, go to asthegirlturns.com. That's where you can see all of her writing and links to social media. We'll have that in the show notes. We'll also try to find some of those other references she mentioned. And please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening right now. And you can support our show by joining our locals community. That's also in the show notes. And of course, always reach out to us. If you want to be a guest on the show, just go to myfavoriteconservative.show and you can contact us there. And we would love to have you as a guest. Jennifer, thank you so much.
Thank you, Andrew and Edward. Great to be with you. So thank much you. Fun.